Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We have an issue today that I believe is vital for every parent, for every grandparent that's in the Duval County area. The subject, by the way, is universal. It covers our nation, some of the things that's taking place with the attempt to brainwash and indoctrinate our sons and daughters and grandkids in the public school system. I've called it the governmentally controlled schools for about 50 years, and it's growing more and more evident that that is the mindset, that somehow, some way, they can control our sons and our daughters rather than having the family, the parents, make the decision on what we need to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today, save our children, save our children. And that should be the goal that we have in mind as we recognize that the Bible is very, very clear that children are an heritage from the Lord. Psalms 127, verse 3. And when we realize that moms and dads have the responsibility, according to Proverbs 22:6, we need to train up our children the way they should go, the way, W-A-Y, meaning from the Hebrew text, the bent, the leaning, the direction. Parents have the responsibility to train up a child in the way, the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go, not the way he wants to go, but the way he should go. And the scripture transliterated from the Hebrew text, and when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. So we'll be talking about that and the circumstances surrounding what is taking place in our Duval County school system today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. The Scripture is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31 and 32, as the Lord Jesus is discussing issues with his disciples, he made the statement, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am truth. Further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God, regardless of what AOC and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Sleepy Joe out of the Oval Office might say, truth is truth. And yet we find the reality very much as George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, you can take the conservative Christian patriot today, and when they stand and speak truth, then they're laughed at, mocked at, derided, and dissed, as the world calls it. But it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a powerful statement when talking about the decline of the death of truth in America. Jim DeMint, the former U.S. Senator, said, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful for leadership in every capacity, whether it be leadership in our churches, in our schools, in the educational system, in the political arena, that will be willing to stand for truth, even if they have to stand alone and speaking truth and standing for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It has a family-friendly environment that you work in. Tools for Time is closed on Sundays, allowing the entire staff to be able to go to worship in church with their families as God intended it. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview and see what God does, placing you in the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take a brief moment for a very, very minute basic monogram to set the stage for where we're going in this broadcast today. Our nation, I believe, is in deep trouble. Now, I don't know what your thoughts are. Perhaps you disagree with that. But I believe our nation is in deep trouble morally, ethically, biblically, theologically, doctrinally, politically, societally, militarily. I believe we're in deep trouble. I believe we're watching the precursor to World War III that's emanating out of Ukraine today as a result of the Russian attack on the Ukrainian people. We're watching the collapse today, ladies and gentlemen, of law and order. The society as we've once known it, I don't believe we'll ever go back to a law and order society in America. Now, you might say that's a negative thought, or that's not a positive philosophy of what's happening in America. But, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is the case. When we've got a DOJ, Department of Justice, with Merrick Garland, that I am thankful every day that he was not approved as Supreme Court Justice. But DOJ Attorney General Merrick Garland is literally blinking, winking at law and order, law and disorder across America. Back during the riots, with the BLM riots taking place, and now with the riots taking place in front of the homes of the Supreme Court justices. And just yesterday, a 26-year-old young man from California arrived with the intent of killing Brett Kavanaugh, one of our Supreme Court justices. He had a weapon in his backpack. He had a hammer, a chisel. He had a number of other articles with zip ties to tie hands. And he had the intent, as he's admitted, of killing Brett Kavanaugh. And all of that, ladies and gentlemen, could have been stemmed and stopped had the DOJ simply adhered to the federal law that prevents the display of threats for the U.S. Supreme Court justices. But that's been winked at as though it's not taking place at all. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching these things take place, and it seems as though there's no turning it around. Simply, this is taking place today with the U.S. Supreme Court justices as a result of a leaked document, a draft of what could be the final decision for the Supreme Court in outlawing the murder by way of abortion that's known as Roe versus Wade since 1973, where we've had approximately 65 million babies destroyed, killed in the mother's womb. And yet we talk about, as Nancy Pelosi is talking today, about Save Our Kids Act to try to ban guns in America, to try to confiscate weapons in America, to try to prevent God-fearing American citizens, those that are conservative, patriotic citizens, from owning a weapon. All of that is taking place, ladies and gentlemen, under the guise of saving our kids and at the same time expanding the effort to destroy our children in the mother's womb. And beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, trying to destroy the minds, the hearts, and the lives of a child through the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that's taking place in the school systems across the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that it seems to be an open season especially this season where they talk about Gay Pride Month or Pride Month, even where we're spending taxpayer dollars for the Acosta Bridge to be lit in the LGBTQ colors and paying our police officers extra time to stand there and guard as the sodomite parade takes place at the end of the week across the Acosta Bridge. That's not done for Christians. That's not done for any other organizational group and societal segment in our nation today, but it's being done not just here in Jacksonville, but across the nation. A Christian champion for the truth and for morals and ethics, Dr. James Dobson, said this. He said, "I've long stated that sin committed against children are the most grievous. That's why I believe our Lord made the following statement. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to stumble or fall or sin." Luke chapter 17, verse 2. It's also found in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. And this writer about Dr. James Dobson continues, "And yet the worst offenders seeking to pervert and harm our kids is not a corporation or school board, as though they are doing it anyway. It's our current president, his administration, pushing it from the top. And it and as I shared in a recent statement, President Joe Biden and his administration and agencies are determined to push America totally off the moral cliff as they take full aim at dismantling the mental, physical, and spiritual well-being of our children and our schools across our nation." So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place. And that's the reason today we have a very special lady that's going to be discussing these issues about the local school board with us. We're delighted to have today, ladies and gentlemen, a school board member that is a Christian, conservative, Republican school board member. I'm thankful that she's able to take time out of her busy, busy schedule to join us on this broadcast today. I believe we have Charlotte Joyce on the line with us. Charlotte, go ahead just a moment. Introduce yourself. Let our listeners know who you are, what you're doing. Then we'll get into the mix of what we're doing and why we're having this interview today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for inviting me to come on your show. I was a teacher in the school system a few years ago, and the seat in my district came open for, you know, in Duval County, we're the only county that has term limits on school board members. And so the board member was terming out, and I prayed through, contemplated the idea of maybe running for the school board because, you know, being a teacher and a mom of five kids in the school system, I felt like there I could bring some value to this board and really knowing the work that was going on in the school system. And so that was the initial thought. And as I thought about it, I said, there's just no way. I mean, I'm just a little girl from the West Side. I've grown up here. There's no way that I am, you know, have any shot at this, or I shouldn't even do it. And frankly, I was really scared because, you know, it's a big deal to run for a political office. And it was heavy on my heart, and I just kept thinking about it. And God just kept moving within my heart to do it. And I just kept saying, I just know that I can't do it. I can't do this, Lord. And my husband and I have a little cottage up on the Blue Ridge Parkway in North Carolina. And we generally go there after Christmas and spend a couple of days. And while I was contemplating this, we had decided to do a little tour of some small churches up there. And these churches have these paintings called fresco paintings. And it's a biblical scene, and it's a little tour that you can go on. There's small churches. And we had gone to one of the churches that his mom and his aunt visited many times. And on this wall was painted the Lord's Table. And you go in the church, and you mash a little button, and it just talks about the disciples and the significance of the Last Supper. And as I sat there, and I listened to the narrator talk about the 12 men that God used to build his church and how these men were very misfits and they were inadequate and they were just plain people, but that God used these 12 people to build his church. Amen. And he had convinced me that at that moment that he called me to do this, to run for this seat, and that it was not going to be in my strength or in my power. It was going to be in his. And I surrendered to the calling and knew that it didn't matter what the outcome of the election was, that I was just going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And to make a long story short, God moved mountains and he parted the sea, and he wanted me to know that it didn't matter how much money you raise. My opponent raised $120,000 at the end of the day, and I raised $19,000. But the less money that you have, the more God gets the glory. And and at the end of the day, I served two city council districts, 12 and 14. There's 28 precincts in those districts. And to God be the glory, I won every single one of those precincts. And so here I am. I'm up for re-election now. But I do believe that God has put me here for such a time as this.
Amen. Well, I'll second that, knowing some of the track record that you've had and some of the things that you're faced with now and what is taking place. Charlotte, take just a moment and elaborate on, let's not get into the nitty-gritty of what's happening right here in Duval County, but let's just look at it from a broad brush basis of what's happening across the nation. Do you believe that we're watching today something that is taking place that is unique in our lifetimes, and what is taking place that is an historical move across America about what is called the LGBTQ agenda? Tell our listeners what is happening in that realm, especially as it affects the schools across the nation, and what is happening in our schools, and then we'll get down to the issues on Duval County.
Okay, sure. Well, I'll give you a little background. I think that this whole movement has been building for the last 10 years, and it's really coming out, I think, based on, you know, what since the pandemic, what parents are seeing happening with their children and what their children are being taught. This particular issue, this LGBTQ plus guide is a guide that not only has been used in Duval County, it has been used around in different counties around the state and around the nation. And it's not a board approved guide. So really there, as a board member, I didn't know that this guide existed, and that, you know, there were some things going on in our school system that that pertains to the guide. And so to give you a little bit of background, in April of last year, you know, this is when Governor DeSantis had just signed this bill into law. There was a lot of chatter and discussion, not just in the state, but around the nation. You know, Florida was thrust into the national spotlight, and this parental rights and education bill was dubbed as the Don't Say Gay bill. And as I listened to the different newscasts and the conversations that were going on, you know, it really concerned me. And there was a time right at the beginning of April where we were sitting at the board table. One of the board members had really just went on a rant about how, you know, that, you know, she didn't agree with this law, and, you know, that it would cause problems to some of our children and our school system. And I said, this is about parental rights. And the conversation was stopped. And so I went on a mission. And I wanted to read the whole bill in its entirety and kind of compare what I'm hearing in the media with what it actually said. And so I did that. And then I was convinced and convicted that I felt that the public needed to know this has been so mischaracterized. And so I brought forth a resolution to my board to kind of talk about that we support parents, that we are partners with parents. I discussed the certain aspects of the bill. I discussed in this resolution, or put in this resolution, exactly why the bill had to be brought into law, and then asked the board to approve it. And they tabled it. That was after a night of 300 public comments. But I think the listeners need to understand that this bill is about notification, parental notification, and that if something that the school district cannot adopt procedures for notifying, for not including a parent in a social transition situation, they have to include parents in every single decision that is being made by the school district. And it is amazing to me that we have so much pushback in our society, and that we're actively trying to take parents out of the conversation.
Absolutely. Charlotte, let's take one moment. And it just occurred to me that perhaps some of our listeners are not aware. And what you're talking about, the bill, it was Florida House Bill 1557 that the governor signed into law, and it is now law, signed into law, what was it, a couple of months ago. And it simply places the responsibility of our sons and daughters and grandkids in school, places the responsibility on what they're taught, how they're taught, and what they're introduced to, especially when it comes to deviant sexual relationships and gender identity, places that responsibility on the shoulders of parents. Am I correct in that? I've read the bill also. Am I correct in making that summary statement that it's a parental responsibility law?
Yes, sir. That is correct. And so when I was doing the research and I read through the bill, I did come across the testimony of January Littlejohn. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her story. She did go before the legislature and really talked about something that happened with her daughter in Leon County, which there's a lawsuit now. Are you familiar with the story of January Littlejohn?
Yes.
So basically, you know, she had a daughter who's 13. Her peer group kind of all together decided that they were going to socially transition. They wanted to transition from being female to male, which actually is a phenomenon that's occurring across the nation right now. It's a social contagion. And the school district basically, without her knowledge, allowed the daughter to do they put her on a social transition plan. And so when I went back and I looked at our LGBTQ guide, because I had been made aware of it, there was a couple of things that were very disturbing. Number one, on page 12 of the old guide, it says it is never appropriate to divulge the sexual orientation of a student to a parent. That's very concerning to me. But then I looked, and this transgender, gender nonconforming student support plan, we had the exact same plan in Duval County. Mm-hmm. And in the opening paragraph of this plan, it says, a reminder, a student's gender identity should never be disclosed without their consent, even to a parent or guardian. And what was happening is that we were, not just us in Duval County, but across the state, there are school districts that were socially transitioning students. And so they had a plan where they would use the student's affirmed name during class, within the school building. But when speaking to the parent, they would use the student's legal name. The student also had the ability to choose what restroom they wanted to use without the parent's knowledge, what locker room they wanted to use, what shower they wanted to use, if there was an overnight trip, what kind of accommodations they would have. And all of this was taking place without parental consent or knowledge.
Charlotte, what you're talking about now for our listeners' edification and understanding, these are things that you're talking about firsthand knowledge of that's presently happening in Duval County Public School System. Am I correct?
Oh, yes, sir. This is I have the plan. I mean, it's Duval County Public Schools Transgender, Gender Nonconforming Student Support Plan Confidential. Now, this plan is being revised. I've seen the new LGBTQ plus support guide. We had a board workshop on the transition and how we would conform with the state law. But then when I asked, I didn't see this particular plan in the new support guide. I was told by the district that it was going to be housed somewhere else. So this is not going away. I'm assuming, and I think the district has said that they will not socially transition a student without a parent's knowledge now, but this is still a support plan that's going to be housed in what I guess Dr. Ring called a big book. I haven't seen it. I'll be following up on that. But yes, sir, to answer your question,
what you're saying to me, if I correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying to me and for our listeners' ears today is that what is taking place in relationship to the orchestration, the development, and the plans for a LGBTQ agenda for our public schools in Duval County is taking place behind the scenes without the benefit of the input, the orchestration, and the carrying out of the elected school board members. Is that what's happening?
Yes, that is exactly what is happening. But now that I brought the resolution before the board, that workshop that happened on May 17th has there was a lot of people in attendance to that, and I think the district it knows that the community is very interested in this topic. The community, the parents want to know what's going on. So we are working to follow up to make sure that everything is forward facing, that the parents and the community know what kind of plans are in place, what kind of training that teachers and parents are receiving, so that we can advocate for advocate for students and parents that both of them are involved in this process.
Charlotte, hold just a minute. We have a caller on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, how are you doing today?
Great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I understand that this is an issue that parental consent there. I don't know by whose authority or by what means these resolutions have come forth to allow a child to have the ability to say, I want to do this or I want to do that. I'd like to point to 1 Corinthians 13:11. I cannot read it right now because I'm driving. Can you look that up for me real quick, Doc?
1 Corinthians 13:11. Go ahead with your comment while I'm finding that.
Basically, children are beholden to their parents, and the parents have a responsibility to raise the child to become an adult, a responsible adult.
Well, Jim, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 13:11. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's the Apostle Paul talking to the church that's acting childish at the first. I called it the First Baptist Church at Corinth, but the context is where he's trying to chide and correct them for what they're doing in childish manner.
Well, to me, this seems like a lot of what these people are doing that are taking responsibility. They're literally doing childish things. They're not being wise.
Jim, what I think is happening, we're watching approved child abuse taking place in Duval County schools and nationally. Charlotte, would you respond to Jim's inquiry and his thoughts in relationship to what is happening? We've got about 1 minute before the top of the hour news break.
I do think that, we have to protect our children and
yes.
Go ahead.
Hey, go ahead. I'm agreeing with
you. I'm sorry. Yeah. I do think that we need to protect our children, and it is our responsibility as, a school district to make sure that we're doing that. But part of that in protecting our children is to making sure that our parents are alongside of us, that we are working hand in hand with them. I mean, I understand that teenagers and children go through different emotions, but there are things that are heavy. They're just too heavy for a child to bear. These are some of the things that we just need to make sure that we're not exposing our children to.
Absolutely. Charlotte, hold on for about 1 minute. We're going to have top of the hour news break. Ladies and gentlemen, be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.